Here's our pastor.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for all you've done and what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done in these young people, these children. And we love you and we appreciate everything that you're doing through them. And that, let that work be continued in them, that they may do it until the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would just look upon us and that you would touch our souls, hearts, minds, spirits, and bodies, that we would all of that, we would line up with the word of God to do your will, to say yes to your will. Father, we ask you, Lord God, that you impart into us some spiritual blessing, that we, Lord God, can walk away from here strengthened. Lord God, that our faith would be concrete and unwavering. Father, we ask, God, that you would touch all of us, Lord God, and whatever our problems are, God, that you we give them into your hand, that you would help us through them all. Father, now, Lord God, we ask, God, that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which it shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you right now. We glorify your holy name. We magnify you. And after you've done all you want to do, God, we'll be careful to give you glory and praise. Father, we are joining with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, to chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you for filling us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're going to look at Romans chapter 4. And we're still talking about focus on the promise. Romans chapter 4. And we'll look at we'll parade and peruse verse 16 through verse 25. Amen. Verses 16 through verse 25. Amen. Romans. When you have that, say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. As we said, we're focusing on the promise and the title tag and the thought. This message on today would be stand and don't stagger. Amen. Tell somebody, say, stand and don't stagger. And see how they kept, they must have kept talking about it year after year. And by the time Sarah got about somewhere around 78 years old, Hagar had the baby and named him Ishmael. And because she named him Ishmael, he was the firstborn. Then when Sarah got pregnant, Ishmael began to come against Isaac. He tried to mess with Isaac and tease him and mock him. And Sarah said, I can't have my son mocked. See, you can't mock the promise. Y'all don't hear that. Sarah said, I can't have my son going through all of this with this boy, and I need to get, he's 13, and my boy is just a little one, and he is envious of a little baby. He's 13, and he's envious of him. I can't have that, so we got to get him out. So do you know that your flesh will be envious of the promises of God? That, you know, people who walk in the flesh is going to be envious of the things that God said to you. Come on and say amen. And sometimes we got to realize that we got to cut, we got to let them go. God bless you, but I got to let you go. Come on and say amen. And I'm not saying that we just need to be writing people off, but I'm saying when it's interfering with the promises of God, then you got to walk away. When it's interfering with what God has said, you got to let go. Come on and say amen. Tell somebody, say, let go. Because it's in your way of getting the promises fulfilled in your life. Sarah decided that she needed to let Hagar and Ishmael go. Abraham said, no, I can't do that because that's my son. And by the way, I like Hagar hanging out with us. And Sarah said, no, you got to let her go. And then Abraham went and prayed. And God said, Abraham, listen to your wife. Let that woman go. I'll take care of them. Come on and say amen. And so he let her go and they left. But he staggered not at the promises of God. He had faith in God. And the Bible says, he gave glory unto God. How is it that we give glory to God? By continuing to walk the walk, continuing to have faith, continuing to know that God can and he will, that God can do anything but fail, lie, and die, that God can open up doors that no man can shut, that God can shut doors that no man can open. And by the way, if man think he can close doors, I always say that there are more windows in the house than doors, that God will open up the window and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Tell somebody, I ain't got no more room, but God's still blessing. I got to give some stuff away, but God is still blessing. I got to clean my pantry out, but God is still blessing. I got to clean my closet out, preacher, but God is still blessing. Got to give some shoes away because I got me some new ones. Come on. I wish I had somebody in the house that said, God is still blessing. I got to open up more than one bank account, because I can't trust him with all my money in one. God is still, y'all don't hear me. Oh, come on and give God some glory in this house. We need to know that God is still in the blessing business. But look at what he said. We got to forget the problem and we got to be fully persuaded. I'm almost done. I know you're ready to go. He said, and therefore, excuse me, and being fully persuaded, verse 21, that he had promised he was able to perform. You got to be persuaded that God can do what he said he could do. See, the problem is that one problem is that we don't know what God is saying. That's why we doubt if God said it. That's why we don't know if God is going to do it, because you don't know if he really said it. So it is important for you to get yourself in worship so you can hear what God is saying. It is important for you to get in a place where you can hear God. You hear everybody else. Sometimes you got to turn off the phone and turn off Lifetime television, turn off the game. You got to get in a place where you can hear God, where you know that God is speaking. You got to get in a place where ain't no distractions, because God said, I ain't going to share no time. You need to pay attention. I'm not sharing time with him or her. I may have sent them to you, but you need to let them know, first off, I got to serve God. So at this time, I won't be doing any talking to you, because I'm here listening to God. We got to learn how to listen. We can't go. Abraham didn't go with a grocery list and tell God everything that he wanted. Abraham was just there because God came to see him, and God must be that God had something to say, because if God comes to see you, if God comes to visit, he must have something to tell you. And so when God come to visit us, we think it's the time to tell him everything that's wrong. He already know what's wrong. Abraham didn't have to tell him that God ain't got no son. God already knew he didn't have a son. I wish I had somebody. And since God saw his faith and God knew that he didn't have a son, God said, I'm going to give you one. And not only am I going to give you one son, but that son going to have many sons, and those sons are going to have more sons. And before you know it, you'll be a father of many nations. And let me tell you how God works. I wish I had somebody. Tell somebody, God is awesome. He'll do what we think he can't do. What God did with Abraham, he gave him three sets of sons. Even though we don't realize it, God gave him three sets of sons. He gave him one named Ishmael. Then he gave him another named Isaac. And then there were the sons of Keturah, in which Moses married one of the sons' children. Amen. The Bible says that it was Joseph who met all his cousins, because it was the Ishmaelites that took him into Egypt. But it was the Midianites, I wish I had somebody, one of the sons of Keturah, that pulled him up out of the pit. I wish I had a few people. Sometimes you got to be careful of who pulls you out of the pit, because they might sell you off. Preach up in this house. We got to see what God has done. The Bible says that in verse number 21, he said, you got to know God can do just what he said he could do. Anybody know he can do it? Tell him God can do anything but fail. I don't doubt him, because I know too much about him. Is God a doctor? No, but he's a healer, because he ain't got to practice medicine. He don't do it for trial and error. He can just speak a word. The Bible says that he sent his word and he healed us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We ought to understand that he'll be a rock in a weary land. Come on and say amen. That he'll be your shelter in the time of the storm. I can hide in his pavilion. Somebody give God some praise. But God is able to do what nobody else can do. Look at verse number 22. He said it was imputed as righteousness. Verse 23, he said, but it wasn't written for his sake alone. What are you saying here? Paul is letting us know that because Abraham was faithful, that he believed in God, not just believed that God exists, because the devil believes he exists too, but the Bible says that you got to trust God, that God will do what he said, that you'll trust God, that he's not short of his word, that you'll trust God, that he loves you and he'll come and see about you. And so he imputed to that as righteousness. In other words, Abraham didn't have to work to be right. That's why he could lie and still be blessed. Y'all don't hear me. I know it don't sound right, but it wasn't about his works, but it was about his faith. That's why when Abraham, come on and shout glory, the Bible said, let me finish. He said, it's not written for Abraham's sake alone. It's not written just to brag on Abraham. It's not written just to talk about his faith. He said, but it's written for you and me, so that we would trust God, so we would know that God specializes in things impossible. That God works miracles where it seemed to be nothing working for you. I wish I had a few people. But then in verse 24, he said, we also got righteousness. He said, if we can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm trying to hurry to a close because y'all ready to get out of here. He said, because you believe, God makes you right. Not because you walk right, but because you believe right. Not because you said the right thing, but because you trust in the right thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He said he delivered us. Oh, come on and shout glory. He said when he died, he delivered us from offenses. In other words, when he died, all our sin was washed away. But then you know what? Even though you're not guilty, I wish I had a few people. You know how it is. You might have been guilty of something, but you were acquitted of your guilt. They said, okay, we ain't gonna put you in jail. They're gonna let you ride. But the people in the community, they still say, look at them. Look at old rotten self. They know they was guilty. They just knew that lawyer. They just knew that judge. Who is my lawyer and who is my judge? Jesus Most High. I wish I had somebody. But then look at the other part. He said when he was raised again, he said it was for justification. He said, in other words, even though when he died, it was to get rid of your sin, but then when he rose up, it was for to make you right. No matter what people say, when the devil accuse you, God said, that's all right. I wish I had a few people, because the devil talks about you on a daily basis. He put his word in some people's mouth. And just like God put his word in our mouth, the devil put his word in other folks' mouth. Y'all don't hear me in here. And so what happens here is that when the devil, the Bible says every day and every night, he accuses you of being you. Y'all didn't get that. He accuses you of lying sometime. He accuses you of lusting sometime. He accuses you of telling people something that you shouldn't tell them. I wish I had somebody. But when we look at what God said, he justified. God said, it's just if I had done what they did, so I don't have any judgment for them. I wish I had a few people. It said that God is saying that even though you're guilty, I say not guilty. Even though you're wrong, I say you're right. Even say you're down, but God say you're up. I wish I had somebody come on and say, I'm fully persuaded. Anybody persuaded about what God has done? So when I tell you this, I'm going to try to get to my seat. I'm trying to get there, I promise. The Bible says that Abraham had a son. When Isaac was born, they named him Laughter because he made him happy. And he made them laugh. That's what God promises will do in your life. The Bible says that the promises of God, I wish I had somebody, will bring joy and not sorrow. I wish I had a few people that say, I got promises and God made me laugh. But God said, I'm going to take what you're laughing. I'll take what makes you laugh and I want you to kill it. Abraham took what made him laugh, walked him up the hill, called Moriah, the same place that we call Calvary. Took him up the hill. He put him on the wood. Got ready to kill him. And God said, hold your hope. Tell somebody, hold your hope. He said, there's a ram in the bush. I wish I had somebody. Now, who was that ram? It was Jesus Christ. Somebody shout glory. Who horns were caught in the thicket. They put a crown on his head to represent the thorns, and the crown of his head represent the thicket that he got caught in. He couldn't get away from it because it was the will of God that he must die. But you got to understand that he was in covenant with God, and because he was in covenant, the Bible says that God had a covenant with Abraham, and because of this Abrahamic covenant, God looked at Abraham, and in the covenant that says that you, whatever you would do for your covenant partner, your covenant partner would do for you. And since Abraham was willing to give up his only begotten son, God said, I got one. I got my only begotten in the name of Jesus Christ. I let him die on the same hill. They come on and say yes. But when he died, they took him off the hill, wrapped him in grave clothes, and put him in a rock. Put a rock in front of the rock. Somebody say yes. They sealed the rock. Put soldiers in front of the rock. But that didn't stop the rock from going down to the earth and preaching to Sheol, the place of the righteous dead, and told Abraham, I'm the one that you were waiting on. I'm the promised seed that God told you about back in Genesis 12. Somebody say yes. I'm the one that's going to bless the rest of the world. Give God some glory. He said, now Abraham, come go with me. I got a place for you in my kingdom. Somebody shout glory. And according to Ephesians 4, and according to Peter, he took captivity captive, went back to the grave. John said, the earthquake rocked and reeled. The rock was rolled away. I wish I had somebody. The soldiers fled, but he got up. Somebody say early. Say early. Early. He got up with all power in his hand. Somebody say yes. But I came to tell you, not only did he get up, but if the Bible is true, I believe it's true. He said that those in the grave rose up with him. So much power was in the grave that they got up, walked the streets of Jerusalem. Somebody say yes. But I'm so glad. Somebody say, I'm so glad that he left us here with power to become sons, because I'm his seed. Anybody know who you are? You belong to God. You don't belong to anybody else. You belong to God. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. He died for you, but he rose for you too. Say yes. Won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Tell somebody, won't he do it? Ask him, will he do it? Won't he, will he? Will he, won't he? Won't he make you a son? Won't he fill you with power? Won't he open doors? Won't he make your enemy your footstool? Won't he bless you? Won't he do it? Say yeah. Say yes. Give him praise and give him glory. I don't know about you, but I'm focused on the promise. I'm gonna stand. I ain't gonna stagger. Somebody say yes. I'm not filled with wine as in excess, but I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power to call it. Somebody say yes. Power to say it, because God said it. If God said it, it's all right. Tell him I'm all right, because God said I'm all right. I'm healed, because God said I'm healed. I'm more than a conqueror, because he said it. Somebody say yes. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I'm above and not beneath. Why is that? I'm glad you asked, because God said it. Say yes. Say yeah. Come on and praise him. I'm an overcomer, because God said it. I can cast out devils, because God said it. I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, because God said it. Anybody know God? Do you trust God? Say yes. Shout hallelujah. Tell somebody. He's been preaching a while, but I hope you got it. Stand on the promises. Don't sit on the premises. Stand and don't stagger. I ain't gonna waver. No wavering allowed. I'm coming up. Somebody say yes. I'm coming through. Say yes. I'm coming out. Say yes. Is there anybody felt like you were gonna break down? Before the breakdown, there's a breakthrough. I got a breakthrough. Say yes. You gotta understand, you're the seed. You're the seed that's been blessed. What does a seed do? A seed is in the ground. See, when they planted you, when they buried you, they did not know you were a seed. They did not know that by breaking you, what's on the inside will start to grow. They did not know that when you get broken, your roots go out and you go down first. They did not know that wherever you put on me, they dump crap on me, put manure on top, put whatever they could. Say, he buried now. But one day after it rained, had some storms in my life, I started to go up and I broke through the ground and I came up. Somebody say yes. I went in by myself, but when I came up,
I multiplied. When I came up, they benefited off me going down. Say yeah. Say yes. Tell somebody, look at me. I'm a seed. Bury me, I'll grow. Cover me, I'll break through. Tell somebody, I'm coming up. I'm not staggering. Say yeah. Say yes. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm not staggering. I'm standing. Stand. Stand. Anybody standing with the whole armor? The whole armor represents Jesus. Put on Jesus. My salvation. My breastplate. My righteousness. My belt of truth. My peace that's sure. Put on Jesus. My shield of faith. Because I know I got him, but I can't see him. My weapon and my sword. That's Jesus. Put on the whole armor. Anybody here? Say yeah. I'm trying to go to my seat. Somebody messing with me. I'm trying to leave this alone. But y'all keep pulling. I'm not staggering. I'm walking upright with my head lifted. You know, people that stagger, sometimes they head down. They stagger forward. They head go back. They stagger backwards. But I got my head. And the Bible said that he'll lift my head because he's the lifter of my head. And when my head is lifted, I lift my eyes unto the hills. For whence cometh my help? For my help. Say my help. My help. Come from the Lord. Say yeah. Show glory. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. You too boring. I'm crunking here. It's lit in the house of the Lord. You need to get up and stand on the promises of God. Stand up and tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things, and I may not know two things, but one thing. Say one. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. They all make one. One thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Is he all right? Shout glory. Shout hallelujah. Say he is all right. Slap high five. Tell somebody he's all right. Tell three people he's all right. Tell them now. I'm standing. I ain't staggering. I'm gonna stand. Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. Are you persuaded? I'm excited because of what I feel. Sometimes a feeling can persuade you. Oh, you don't believe that? You had a feeling about your husband before you married him. You had a feeling about your wife. A feeling can persuade. I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. And the anointing confirms that God is going to do something. I don't know who it is. I don't know what you're going through, but I feel the power of the anointing that God is going to open doors. God is going to heal bodies. God is going to do it. I wish you could feel what I feel. I wish I can ball it up and just throw it on you. Just throw it on you. Because when you start to feel it, oh glory, hallelujah, they can't stop the feeling. They can't stop my faith. If my feeling and my faith begin to line up, they can't do nothing about it. The devil's in trouble. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. I came to take it. I came to take back what he stole, and I ain't gonna stand back. and let him bring it to me. I'm going to go in the enemy's camp. I ain't tiptoeing. I'm stomping and I'm standing. Going in the enemy's camp, taking my joy, taking my peace, taking my financial stability back, taking it all back. The ministry he gave me, taking it all back. The love he gave me, taking it all back. Can you take it back? Don't let him have it. I'm getting everything that I lost last year and the year before. Better yet, I'm getting more when I'm restored. See, I'm speaking prophetically. When God restores, when God restores, it ain't like how we do. We just give you back what we owe you. But when God restores, he gives you back more. He gives you back what's better. He gives you something you didn't have. I wish I had somebody. Say, Lord, restore me. Restore my faith. Restore my love. Restore my ministry. Restore that anointing. Restore my finances. Restore my mental stability. Restore me, God.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministry.